The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. Today, we're taking a look at an example from Scripture of a faithful mother. Hannah was barren, but she trusted God and prayed to Him for a child. When Samuel was born, she lent him to the Lord in faith, trusting God to take care of him as he served him. Join us today as we look at Hannah, a faithful mother in Israel.
Come from here. you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to preach to you, the Lord being my helper this morning, on Hannah, a faithful mother. A faithful mother who lived in a difficult time. A faithful mother who faced some significant troubles and trials in her life. But a faithful mother who, through faith, was blessed by God to accomplish some things that we ought to look at this morning. In chapter 1 of Samuel, we're going to read quite a bit here, but not all of it, but we'll begin reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I want to stop right there because this kind of lays the groundwork for where we are. Hannah had some problems. First of all, there was some issues with her life. But you know, Hannah's priorities were right. Hannah had the right priorities in her life. Hannah's life wasn't perfect. Hannah had some issues in her life. Her husband had another wife. That's the first problem we see there. That's something that was tolerated. It was something that was even common in the Old Testament days, but that was not the way it was supposed to be. If you go back with me to Genesis chapter 2 just for a moment, we'll read about how it was in the beginning, and this is something that Jesus himself affirmed later on. In chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Now, I want to say this because I always try to remind you of this, and when we go to this talking about marriage and the things that the Lord said here, there is a place for people like the Apostle Paul, who apparently never married. There's a place, just because you're not married doesn't mean you're somehow less in the kingdom of God. But the question of marriage is something that is a question God is interested in. Now, if you're unmarried because you have chosen to do that, or just because you have been particular and you have waited on the Lord to bring the right person into your life, then you are in the right place. If you're not married because you think marriage is bad or there's something better out there than marriage, then you're in the wrong place, you see. God is not saying here everybody has to marry. Now, listen, he knew, Brother Mackey, in my case, that it's not good for me to be alone. I can tell you that. You can't imagine what my house and my life would be like if I was alone. But I know some people, I have friends who have never married, and they have a good life, and they serve the Lord in ways that sometimes you can't serve him when you are married. Paul said that if you're married, you have to consider what your wife is thinking. You have to consider taking care of her. If you're unmarried, you can focus on him. Praise God if that's what you're doing. But God said that when a man marries, there is a certain way to do it. He didn't create a dog for him. He didn't create some other kind of animal. He said, it's not good that the man should be alone. He goes on to tell us here that out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. He brought them all before him, and Adam, we're told, gave the names to them. But look at the end of verse 20. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. That word helpmeet means a helper appropriate for him. So what did God do? Here's what God did. Now let me just stop here and say, marriage is sanctioned by the government. There are certain laws that apply to marriage. I understand that. But marriage was not created by the government. And as a matter of fact, marriage was created by God here in the Garden of Eden. And he didn't create it as a response to sin that came into this world. He created marriage before there ever was any sin. It's the one institution that survived the fall of Adam. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." If you go over to the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, you're going to read where Jesus himself said, he quotes this, and he says, that he adds a little to it. He says, "They twain shall be one flesh." It didn't say they three. It didn't say they four. It said they twain shall be one flesh. He emphasized over there when they were talking about divorce that in the beginning God created them male and female. And the idea was that one man and one woman would come together and they would create a family. But here in Hannah's day, things weren't perfect. Her life wasn't perfect. Her husband had another wife. The word cleave means, it's the Hebrew word for glue, and literally it means to adhere as if with glue. But Elkanah, who we don't know much about him here, he at least tried to serve the Lord, we're shown here. He sacrificed, but Elkanah didn't quite get it. And it appears there was issues in his marriages, because it says he loved Hannah, and you know, when you start playing favorites in a family, there's always problems. You remember Jacob playing favorites among his children. And Jacob, of course, had multiple wives. But her husband had another wife, and there were problems. See, that wife, that other wife, became an adversary, and her adversary, we're told, persecuted her. Verse 6 there, it says, "She provoked her sore." That literal word, that phrase there in Hebrew, is a double use of the Hebrew word for, the Hebrew does that for emphasis. So the idea here is that she vexed her unmercifully, provoked her sore, so that, for to make her fret. The purpose was to upset her. And that word fret there, by the way, is the Hebrew word for thunder. The Hebrew word for thunder. Literally, it means it made her roar. She was so obnoxious, and she was so adverse to her, and she continued to provoke her so much that it made Hannah roar, if not loudly, at least inside. And then I want you to notice something else, though. This is important, okay? For those of us that understand and believe that God is sovereign, but that he doesn't cause everything that happens, this is an interesting statement. It says, "But the Lord had shut up her womb." The Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord had done this, according to what we read here, these inspired words. Now remember that God doesn't do everything, but he does do some things. Everything that afflicts you in life does not come from God. Most of the things that afflict us and the troubles that we have in life, most of those troubles come from the fact that we are sinners and we live in a sin-cursed world. But there are some things that God does do in our lives, and in this case, God had shut up her womb. You know, one of the problems with absolutism is that the absoluter believes that everything that occurs is predestinated by God. Everything, including sin, is predestinated by God, and everything is predetermined by God. Well, beloved, that's not what I read in the Scriptures. I heard Elder Sonny Pyle say this one time, and I like the way he put it, because I can't figure out a better way to put it, so I'm going to quote him. He said, "The problem of the absoluter is that he believes that God deals with all of the people all of the time, like he dealt with some of the people some of the time." We do read about whirlwinds that the Lord was in, but we don't read that he's in every whirlwind. you see. Some of them are just the product of nature. Here, the Lord had shut up her womb. But I take comfort in the fact that when God does something like this, it's usually because he has some greater purpose in your life. He has something that he's going to accomplish. Hannah's life wasn't perfect. She was struggling. But Hannah's hope was in a perfect God. Notice that she was weeping. In verse 8, it says, "Why are you weeping? Why are you grieving? Why weepest thou?" She was afflicted. She was depressed. Verse 10, or let's look at verse 9. "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." That word bitterness of soul there is the same Hebrew base word that's used at the waters that they came to after the children of Israel came out of the land of Canaan, the bitter waters of Marah. The word Marah there is the word that's used. And she was in that kind of bitterness of soul. Okay? Notice why she was in such bitterness of soul. First of all, she wanted a child. Psalm 127 in verse 3 tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Like I said before, it's okay if you choose not to have children, just like it's okay if you choose not to get married. But that choice should not be made on the basis that children are a burden. We're told in Psalm 128 there, beginning in verse 3, "Thy wife shall be," we'll go back to verse 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." That doesn't mean in every second of every day things are going to be going your way, but it does mean that in general, if you're serving the Lord, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be a lot happier serving the Lord than you're going to be not serving him out there in the world. But notice what he says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by thy sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." In other words, this family that he's talking about, these children are blessings. They're blessings. They're blessings in the kingdom of God. Look at verse 5. He said, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." He's saying here, he's not just talking about literal Zion and literal Israel. He's talking about what we're in today. We're in the figurative, symbolic Israel. When you read about Zion or Jerusalem or Israel in the Old Testament, when it's not literally talking about that particular country, he's giving us a preview of what the church kingdom is going to be. We're in the church kingdom today. And he says that that the Lord is going to bless us out of Zion. Did you know that our families are just an extension of the kingdom of God if we're doing it right? The family institution that was created by God works hand in glove with the church institution, which was created by God. And she wanted a child, okay? She had a desire. She had a good desire. You know, there's something wrong in society when little children are looked on as burdens rather than blessings. When babies are sacrificed in their mother's wombs on the altar of convenience and success in this world. I've heard it said before that children don't make rich people poor. They make poor people rich. But you know, the way our society looks at it, children are just a burden. Children, you know, people ought to have the option to choose to terminate a pregnancy because it can burden your life. Well, beloved, that's not what I read in the scriptures. She wanted a child. And secondly, she knew she could rely upon the Lord. She knew she could rely upon the Lord. Look at Hannah in verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul. I've been in bitterness of soul myself at times. There have been times where I go through seasons of bitterness of soul. I'm going to be honest with you, and you be honest with yourself. Aren't there times when you're going through that bitterness of soul that you probably intellectually know you ought to be going to the Lord with your problems, but there's just something inside you just don't want to do it? You know, it's like reading the scripture. I'll tell you, there's something supernatural about the obstacles to reading the Word of God. There have been times in my life where I've gone through droughts of reading the Word of God. I've gone through times where I just didn't read it, and I know in my mind I need to read it. And I said, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm too busy. And by the way, it's not just intentionally not reading it. This always used to get me, and praise the Lord, I've been able to keep my office kind of cleaned up over the last several months. But I've gone through many, many years where my office was the junk pile of the house. And so I would go to my office where I really like to get away and have a little private meditation time. So I'm going to go here in my office. I'm going to sit down at my desk and I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to meditate on it, have a good visit with the Lord. And the first thing I do, Brother Mackey, is I look at this. You know, I need to clean this place up. Right, let me get this cleaned up. Then I'll read. Well, then I spend an hour cleaning up and then I don't have time to read anymore. And I never do get it clean. I finally got it clean. I just turned in here a while back and got it cleaned up, and that's where I get to go now, and I sit down and do it. But I'm trying to also, I finally got to the point where I said, I'm just putting the Bible on this stack of books that's on my desk, and I'm going to read it anyway. There's something supernatural about that. The devil is a supernatural being, and the devil is going to try to discourage you from going to the Lord every time that he can. Because, you know, when I've been in bitterness of soul at times, I've said, I know I need to pray, but I just can't pray right now. What do? You know, sometimes you really get to that point. Sometimes you really get to the point where you don't feel like you can pray. I've been to the point where I did not have the words to vocalize to the Lord. I did not know what to pray for. I did not know how to pray to him. I could not even make the words come out of my mouth. What do I do in those times? I pray anyway. That's what we should do, is pray anyway. Sometimes we just groan to the Lord. I remember Brother David Crawford telling the story from this pulpit right here about the time his son was right after they had adopted him, he was in the intensive care, and he just could not even come up with words, and he went to the chapel there and he was so worried that he was going to lose him. And he said he was just groaning in his spirit. He talked to a preacher about it later on. He said, you know, preacher, it bothers me. I could not even pray. I couldn't come up with the words. And this preacher friend of his looked at him and said, Brother David, that's some of the sweetest praying you've ever done in your life. The Holy Spirit takes that and translates it before the throne of God into the words that are needed. He said, he knows what we need. We don't know the words, but he knows the words. I can't come up with the answers, but he knows the answers. She was in bitterness of soul. What do you do when you're in bitterness of soul? You can go to the psychiatrists and psychology of the world, and there's a place for them. There's a place for them, them to help you when you're depressed. But beloved, I want to tell you that the greatest psychologist of all, the greatest doctor of all, the greatest comforter of all is the Lord God Almighty. He sits so high that you think you can't approach him, but he tells us to come boldly to his throne of grace. You know, I can't imagine, you know, I think, boldly? Do you know me, God? Do you really know who I am and what I've done? And the answer is yes, he does. He knows you more intimately than you know yourself. He took on him the sin that we have in ourselves. And he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. She went to the Lord. It says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Paul hadn't written the letter to the Philippians yet. But Hannah obviously knew that she could do all things through Christ, which strengthened her. She obviously knew that her God would supply all her need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, she went to the right place. She knew she could rely upon the Lord. And you see, Hannah's hope was in this perfect God. And her desire was to serve the Lord. She had her priorities in order. She had the right priorities. Listen, some prayers go unanswered because of our twisted priorities. Over in James 4 and verse 3, he said, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts." I just be honest with you. Praying for a new Cadillac is probably not the right prayer to pray, you know. Now, praying for a way to go, that's appropriate. Lord, I need help. I need to be able to get from one point to the other. And by the way, I'm not going to settle for anything but a Cadillac. You're probably not going to get the help you're asking for in the first place from that. Sometimes I know the Lord has denied my prayers for things because he knew that I wasn't asking for the right reason. But listen to this, mothers particularly, okay, but this applies to all of us, parents, siblings. Notice that Hannah did not ask that her child would be rich or successful. Now listen, I know we all pray for our children, and we want them to be successful. Yes, we want them to have a career where they'll do well. And I'm proud of my children that have gotten out and gotten jobs and gone into the workplace, and they're doing well. I'm proud for that. I'm proud of that, thankful for that. But my prayer for my children is not that they would be successful according to earthly standards. My prayer for my children is that they might serve the Lord in a successful way. And the only successful way to serve the Lord is by following His word. I don't care if my children are paupers as long as they are serving God in the right way. I do want them to succeed. I want them to have what they need to live. But I mainly want them to serve the Lord and to be good servants of the Lord and following the dictates of Scripture. See, Hannah didn't ask that the Lord would give her a child so that he would be rich and successful. Rather, she prayed for a child that she might give him back to the service of God. I've dealt with people. I know a person or two right now that I've actually had to counsel with and talk to whose child felt a call, their son felt a call to the ministry, and they tried to discourage that because they knew it wouldn't bring them worldly success and wealth. And they were concerned about that, and they were struggling with that. And my answer to them is, listen, if the Lord has called your son to be a preacher, if he's called your son into the ministry, he will never be satisfied. He will never be successful until he answers that call. And then he will be supremely satisfied and supremely successful. Oh, it's a burden. I would not have chosen this on my own. I chose a different life. I chose a different career. The Lord chose me to be a preacher. And when I ran from it, I was not happy. When I struggled against it, I was not happy. When finally I surrendered to it, praise God, it's been the most joyous burden that I've ever experienced. It's a burden. I don't pray for my children to go into the ministry. I don't pray for my sons to become preachers. But I pray that the Lord will use them in whatever way that the Lord wants to use them. And I pray that they will see it and that they will find that. See, let me share the right prayer with you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. This is the prayer that we ought to be praying for one another and especially for our children. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. This is what Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's a prayer that God will answer. That's a prayer that we ought to be praying. I don't see anything in there about climbing the corporate ladder. I don't see anything in there about having a six-figure income. Listen, all those things are blessings. If you're able to succeed in life in the workplace, that's a wonderful thing. But the most important thing is to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You see, his prayer was that those Ephesians might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hannah's desire was not that her son, that she prayed for the Lord to give her, would be rich and mighty, but that he would be mighty in the service of God.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.